I'm Mike Vardy, and this is the Productivityist Podcast.
Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. I am your host, Mike Vardy, and this week on the show, Mark Lavercombe joins me. He is the productive physician. He's a specialist physician and a medical educator, and he writes on productivity at The Productive Physician. He also writes about clinical education and leadership there. And he believes that the key to success as a professional can be unlocked by improving personal productivity, habits, and mindset. So we're not too different, except he's a doctor and I'm not. And he writes incredibly epic, deep content as well. I encourage you to check out all of the stuff he's written. Of course, you can do that in the show notes. But right now, I encourage you to listen to my conversation with Mark Lavercombe here on the Productivityist Podcast. I'd like to welcome the productive physician, Mark Lavercombe, to the podcast. Mark, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Mark. It's a real thrill. Thank you.
So before we started recording, we started talking about doctors and productivity and time management. And we're not going to spend a lot of time in there today, other than maybe we talk about how you got started. And, you know, you've written a post about this called Why Productivity for Physicians. But we're talking about my doctor. My doctor is very, I love my doctor because he's very task oriented. If you're in with him and he loves to talk, I mean, he also loves to talk to me about the places I go and he's fascinated by what I do, but also it's just, I get great care from him. And I guess this lends itself nicely into what you do because you've got, again, why productivity for physicians? Like how do you define it for yourself? How do you define productivity for yourself? And then why did you go down this road of being the productive physician?
Sure. So I guess in my head, there's two types of productivity physicians. If you search in Google, you're going to find a whole bunch of things about, productivity metrics in terms of number of patients seen per minute or hour or whatever it is. And a lot of that comes out of the States where, as you and I were just briefly talking about before the recording, people are hired and fired seemingly based on what their productivity is. And I don't find that personally to be a predictive, a particularly helpful idea. In Australia and in Canada, things are a little bit different. But I think the productivity for physicians that I'm sort of more interested in is more of the personal productivity stuff about how to be better, how to be more efficient and effective at what we do. And I guess the genesis of that came from a former mentor of mine. So I was a trainee working in a hospital in Melbourne, and as I finished that year, the professor who I was training with gave me a copy of Getting Things Done by David Allen, which I thought was a nice gift, and it sat on a shelf for probably 2 years, I think, before I opened it. I was a little bit skeptical, and I read it though, and you know, a lot of the ideas really resonated. And I know, you know, you've been down the Getting Things Done road and sort of left that behind. And in some respects, I'm not doing strict GTD anymore. I'm doing a hybrid, you know, Mark Lavercombe sort of version of keeping things online. But reading Getting Things Done was really the genesis or the origin of where my interest started. So that was 6, 7, 8 years ago, I think. And at the time, I was interested in computer programming a little bit as a sort of a hobby. And so I created my own task manager, which, you know, I ran on a server at home and I logged into from my workplaces and saw what I was doing. And that was fun until the server crashed and I lost all my data. And I'm now using Todoist. But so, look, I think after a few years of having my own sort of hybrid or developing just gradually over time my approach, I started reading more and I came across the 12-week year and I tried one of those out. And it was such a great experience. I really achieved a lot in that period. So I thought, you know, I've got to write this up. And so I decided to start a blog and I put a bit of work into that post and I wrote a few little things about, why and what might be important to measure for doctors. And you know, gradually since then, I've been adding a little bit more content to the website and thinking more. And here we are.
So, you know, it's interesting as you're talking about this, I started to think about the idea of diagnosis, right? Like a lot of people, when they are trying to become more productive or they're trying to, you know, live with more intention and find ways to pay attention to those intentions, they end up, you know, kind of putting band-aids on things, for lack of you built an app that worked for you and that until it didn't. Right. And you had approach. So I think, you know, it's interesting because you chronicle your journey about, you know, it's approach centric as opposed to app centric. What, you know, what do you think when it comes to people looking at their productivity? And we don't have to focus on physicians in particular, but this idea of like when you were investigating your productivity, when you've talked to other people and come across other people investigating their productivity, like what do they often misdiagnose the problem? You know, are they going for that quick band-aid solution? And what have you done to kind of keep that at bay as your journey's continued?
Sure. So, I mean, I think that's a good question. To me, it seems that for me and probably for other people, you know, like you say, band-aid solution that seems to work. The real question is getting to me is to the why of things. And, you know, a lot of productivity people talk about intentionality and you know, it's a bit of a buzzword. But to me, knowing why you're doing something and what it's for and what it's towards is kind of the key to everything, right? So if you are doing something because that's how it's always done and that's because that's what you've got to do and so on, you're likely to be less motivated or you may well be less motivated and probably less effective than if you really believe in what you're trying to do and you understand why you're doing it. I think in terms of the, you know, the productivity missteps that we take a lot of the time, to me anyway, and I'm still learning. I'm not you. I'm not a leader in this field. I'm a learner. But if a lot of the times for me, it seems that you know, we develop these sort of habits that are often maladaptive, by which I mean, you know, we have our email sitting open all day because we think that, or we don't even think, but we kind of subconsciously assume that by seeing new emails come in, we're going to be more efficient by answering them on the spot, whereas probably the best practices, a lot of people would say, to check it a couple of times a day and, you know, have your head out of your inbox. So that's sort of a maladaptive response to these constant prompts of demands on our time or whatever it is. So I think for a lot of people, but certainly for me, it's been a matter of trying to actually understand why I do the things the way that I'm doing them, rather than just going with the status quo, you know, rather than just accepting, okay, I'm going to be constantly, you know, under these pressures and I'm going to constantly being answerable to these particular apps or whatever. How do I want to use them so that they serve me rather than me serving them?
How do you avoid being you know, reactive in your vocation when I think a lot of it, like, does a lot of the work in your field push you in this sense of urgency versus importance? Or are you like you mentioned, you're a learner. Are you able to kind of shift away from that? Or were you ever in that position where it was, you know, you were trying to balance that?
Oh, look, I mean, it's a constant balance. I remember at the time of qualifying as a specialist that, you know, one of the main things that I was most grateful for from finishing my training was that I was going to be handing my pager back to the hospital, because I just was at a point where I couldn't take having that constant sense that someone was about to call on me, rather than being able to define my time in the way that I wanted to. you know, I think it's quite intrusive and frustrating. And I get why it's necessary. The system, that's how things work, right? I mean, you know, people have to be available. I have to be able to give opinions and go and see patients and deal with things. But, you know, the relief that I had when I handed that pager over was probably the biggest relief as part of qualifying. Was, you know, I can now choose how I want to practice. And of course, mobile phones, cell phones have changed that landscape a little bit. But even now, I mean, I think last year I got to the end of the year and I was really quite burnt out. I mentioned to you, I've just had a couple of weeks holiday with family in the Australian summer, and that's been really rejuvenating. And I've sat down with my head of department and since coming back to work and with some other colleagues in my department and really tried to restructure our ward service, our on-call for myself so that it's a bit less onerous this year. You know, so as a response to some reflection over summer about how I coped with 2017, I'm hoping that I can make 2018 a little bit less of a burden in that regard, and that will then free me up to do the other things that I enjoy or prioritize about my work, like teaching or even research.
We're going to take a quick break from the show to talk about something that really cool that's happening with the podcast. And that, of course, is the other places that you can listen to the podcast. So, of course, you can listen to it in iTunes, as you normally can, Stitcher, of course. But we are also on Spotify. So if you're a Spotify user, you can listen to the Productivities podcast on Spotify. And we have also now introduced the Productivities podcast through Alexa. So if you got an Alexa and you want to listen to the show that way, you can just add it to your flash briefings and boom, 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 you're set, ready to go. So there are a multitude of ways to get your daily dose, your weekly dose rather. You can get your daily dose too. Maybe there's some stuff going on behind the scenes there too. But the weekly dose of the Productivityist podcast right through so many different ways. So again, if you're a Spotify user and you really like to listen to your shows there, head over to Spotify and just look for the Productivities podcast there. And if you are using an Amazon Alexa and you just are, you know, you're doing the dishes and you want to listen to the show, then you can just say, hey, Alexa, play my flash briefings or play the Productivities podcast, and boom, it'll be there for you. So I encourage you to check that out. Thanks for listening to the show. And now let's get back to it. Let's talk about like this idea of crafting and creating the life that you want, because you talked about the why, and I think that's really important. You've got a post here about a personal mission statement and creating one. And I think, you know, in my experience dealing with a lot of people that are thinking about like vision statements and mission statements, is they get stuck because they just feel like they're too onerous or they're going to be, too much of a challenge, or they can't quite encapsulate it in one, you know, fell swoop. Let's dive into that a little bit, because I think that, you know, as you're exploring your why, especially as you said, you want to, you shift into 2018 or the new year, the new calendar year, with, you know, this sense of doing more of those things and having the life you want. What's your path for this, for yourself and for those, the path that you recommend they take?
Sure. So I guess I'm approaching this year slightly differently to how I have in the past. I actually invested in the Best Year Ever program with mm-hmm. Michael Hyatt. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost finished that now. I've been a little slow on it. You know, it's the end of January as we're recording, so I better get get a move on. But look, I guess so. What I've been doing is a lot of reflecting on 2017 and how it went well and how it didn't go well, and so trying to, I guess, then identify what do I want to achieve this year, and more particularly why, because I think that does appear to affects your chance of goal attainment, right? Is how strong the why is and how it resonates with you. And when you get to that point of saying this is hard, or I'm tired, or, you know, I've just been on call for this period and I'm exhausted and I can't do that thing, you know, the why is the thing that seems to be likely to keep you on track, right? So really linking the goal with the why. And then what I'm planning is to, I mentioned the 12-week year before, I'm planning to schedule three blocks through 2018, starting at the start of February, with gaps in between. So three, almost, I guess, 3 month, not sprints, but focused blocks to work on a couple of the particular goals that I identified through doing the best year ever. So that's kind of my approach to 2018, and I'll probably write up what happens with that. My reaction so far to working through Michael Hyatt's program is really that linking the why am I doing this, what's the motivation, and you know, what's the kind of the need, what's the emotional and intellectual basis for this goal, is really helping to clarify my thinking. So I'm really hoping that this is going to be a productive and effective year, but I guess time's going to tell. The other part, I guess, in terms of personal mission statements, I think, you know, I had someone write to me recently. They've just started doing theirs, and you know, a doctor who's trying to figure out what he wants to do a bit more clearly, and that's his goal for 2018, is to achieve some clarity in what he wants his professional world to be like. And so he's planning to sit down and look through some of the resources that I mentioned in that post. The, you know, Stephen Covey's obviously the guru there, but also some other books, and really just think about what's the core that he feels about his life, his family, his work. And that's certainly what I think is, when I'm trying to clarify my mission, is, you know, what are the really important things rather than what are the things that I'm told are important, by which I mean, what are the obligations that my workplace or my family or society puts on me versus the things that I feel are really important and need to be prioritized, and then trying to embed that concept into decision-making. I think the personal mission statement, it's a structure. You may or may not like it. You mentioned that, you know, sometimes people feel it's a bit overwhelming, and you know, I don't think it's necessarily for everyone, but I think going through a guided process where you think about what do you really value, what do you really feel is important, and how do those values inform your decision-making about the things you do and don't take on, and the things you prioritize ahead of other things, is really valuable.
Let's dive into something a bit deeper before we wrap up. Because, and by the way, the links to the guide that you've got is in the show notes, and it's really robust. So if you're looking to create that personal mission statement, definitely check out Mark's post.
Thank
here.
You.
So this piggybacks on top of the idea of a mission statement. I have a deep work day. My deep work day is Friday, and I when I have a deep work day, no appointments, you know, and if there happens to be one, it's more of an abstraction than anything else. You mentioned Cal Newport in your blog post and in your work. Let's talk a little bit about deep work. And I think that what I'd like to find out is how in the world with the demands of what, you know, what I can see, and again, this is me from the outside, of what the life of a physician would be like, how in the world does deep work happen? And if it doesn't, how do you make it happen?
I think it's a really good question, because I think it is really hard, and I am really struggling with it, to be blunt. I mean, I think my schedule now is about as stable as it's been ever in my career. You know, I know what I'm doing day to day, which makes it a little bit easier. But a few years ago, I worked for three different hospitals and had a private practice. So trying to shuttle from one place to the other and, you know, meet the demands of each appointment, my private practice, and then schedule time for things that I wanted to work on is really difficult. So I think one of the things that I've done is a bit more scheduling, a bit more, calendar blocking. Mm-hmm. I guess that goes out the window when things, emergency things happen, right? So if I'm actually on for a period of, ward service where I'm the specialist looking after the junior staff and the patients for that period of time, I really have very little control over my time. So as much as I might like to schedule an appointment with myself to do a block of deep work, if things happen and patients need, my input, then that has to win, right? So, but then I guess the flip side of that is, I have 9 months of the year where I'm not doing that. And that's a good chunk of time. And, maybe in that period of time, I'm able to schedule time, block it out. And I've tried to start to make it clearer, closing my office door, those sorts of things, to just put up a little bit of barriers to demarcate out that time for myself. But look, I think this is really hard. I actually just conducted my first interview for my website, which is not yet published, but hopefully will be soon, with a couple of doctors from Canada, as it happens. Mm. They published an article recently about personal productivity strategies for doctors in, the top tier journal in their specialty, gastroenterology. And they mentioned you and this podcast, and they mentioned my website and a few other resources. So I got on the phone with them and we had a long chat about it, and they've got different strategies as well. So each of them has an assistant that they've spoken to, and they've got a nurse practitioner that they work with, and so they funnel a lot of the urgent requests for their time through those people. Mm-hmm. And they've set up very clear strategies that, okay, well, if it's an urgent thing and a patient needs something right now, then this is my phone number and, you need to call me. If it's something that is a less urgent thing, then can we have a check-in time, once a day where we go through all of the things that have come up? And then we will have a formal meeting once a week where we go through all of the problems that need, a signature or an appointment to be scheduled or whatever it is that wasn't urgent. So those guys seem to be developing a pretty robust strategy for managing the urgent so that they can keep their important alive. And in those cases, it's research, I think. For me, it's probably teaching more. Mm-hmm. But I think, we all have different hats. I think one of the real blessings about being a physician is that I get to do clinical work and I get to teach, which I love, and I could do research. There's a variety of different hats, so it's not all about one thing. But then keeping those things somewhat intact and keeping the less urgent but still very important things like research going while I'm trying to keep on track with sick patients is a constant juggle. But yeah, these doctors that I've interviewed, Eric Benchimol and Richard Kaiser, they seem to be examples of how it could be done.
Well, we'll be sure to add this link because by the time this episode is published after recording, it should be up, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, that way we can have it in there for people to read. So, Mark, thanks so much for taking the time today. We've got a bonus episode coming up that's going to talk about some email strategies because, we always give additional value to our members. So if you want to go to productivityist.com/membership and sign up, you'll be able to get the bonus episode. But Mark, where can people find you and learn more about your work and read more about what you're doing, whether they're physicians or not?
Yeah, of course. So, I think that's important to say is that, a lot of productivity advice is obviously applicable to anyone. It's generic and it's transferable or at least tweakable to your particular scenario. And I'm not only writing about things that apply to physicians, although I think I am probably, that's what I am. So mm-hmm. it's easier to make it personal and applicable to my scenario. And I think people resonate with, personal stories resonate with people. So The Productive Physician is the website. It's productivephysician.com. I'm on Twitter at ProductiveFiz, on Facebook, but it's all linked up out of productivephysician.com. So that's probably the first starting point.
Awesome. Awesome. Mark, thanks so much for joining me today on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
There you have it. My chat with Mark. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you go back and read some of the links that we have in the show notes, including some of the, why if you're a physician, why productivity matters for you. The different things like a mission statement, all the stuff that he's got. It's a very rich site, full of rich content. So go to productivephysician.com and look around. But of course, everything that we have is in the show notes as well. A big thanks to John Polstra for producing this episode. Thanks to you for listening. Until next time, I am Mike Vardy, the host of the Productivityist podcast and the founder of Productivityist, reminding you to stop guessing and start going.